when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "You don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." There are a number of unnamed persons in the Bible that I'm looking forward to meeting in heaven. And this is one of those people, this leper. This is all we know about him, is he had leprosy. He was cleansed, cured by Jesus. And that's really all we know. But we can know, based on the faith that we see in this short passage in Matthew 8, he's in heaven. He had full faith in Jesus Christ. And I would like to sit down, and I don't know if this will be the way it is, but I picture sitting down with a good cup of coffee with this former leper, still call him a leper because that's how he's known, but he's not a leper anymore. And here, because there's so much more to the story before this account, after, and even in the account itself that we'll look at today. This is Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. But even where we start there, it says, when he, that's Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. That means they came down behind him from the mountain. So it's like, what was Jesus and all those people doing up on the mountain? Well, we have to go back, actually, Matthew chapter 7, chapter 6, chapter 5, to the end of Matthew chapter 4 to see, and I'll pick up there. Matthew 4, looking at verse 23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, that means the region of 10 cities, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. So Jesus is healing all sorts of people from all sorts of sicknesses and diseases, and large crowds are coming from all over the region to come to Jesus. Chapter 5 says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples, that would be all the crowds too, came to him and he began to teach them. And then for the next three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you see almost every word in those three chapters is red, meaning Jesus is speaking. This is what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. So that's what Jesus and the large crowds are now up on the mountainside, and he's teaching them, preaching the Sermon on the Mount. That gets us back to Matthew 8, when he finished speaking, saying all these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, those large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy who had been waiting at the base of the mountain throughout that whole time sees Jesus come down, goes to him, kneels before him, and says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." First, I want to look at this leper. And you notice, if you look in the bulletin, the note, all caps with an exclamation point, leper. This would be how people would respond. Those crowds coming down and seeing him down there, they'd be like, "Leper, leper," when they see him. I'm going to go back to Leviticus chapter 13. Leprosy, the term in the Bible, covers a number of different kind of skin diseases, defilement of the skin and the flesh. I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 13, not the whole chapter. I don't want to lose you, but just the opening. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when anyone has a swelling or a rash or a shiny spot on their skin that may be a defiling skin disease, They must be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons who is a priest. The priest is to examine the sore on the skin, and if the hair in the sore has turned white and the sore appears to be more than skin deep, it is a defiling skin disease. When the priest examines that person, he shall pronounce them ceremonially unclean. Remember that. A leper is pronounced by a priest ceremonially unclean, defiled. Verse 8, the priest is to examine that person. If the rash has spread in the skin, he shall pronounce him unclean. It is a defiling skin disease. Many verses I am not reading. I'm going to go much later in the same chapter, verse 45. Listen to this. Anyone with such a defiling disease as this leper had must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. You getting this? This leper, why wasn't he up on the mountain? He was not even supposed to be at the foot of the mountain when he knew crowds were coming. He was drawn to Jesus. All the others had brought people right to Jesus earlier, and the crowds gathered around. We don't hear it or read it here. This leper was supposed to, as soon as the crowds were coming down, be doing this, shouting, unclean, unclean, to warn them, stay away. And if he wasn't doing that, they would have seen him and would have figured it out anyway, and they'd be all gasping and saying, stay away. He comes right up to Jesus, this leper. Now, today, we don't hear about leprosy, especially in our country, hardly at all, if at all. In the Bible times, in Jesus' day, and going back into the Old Testament, it was one of the most devastating diseases a person could have. There was no cure for it. It was caused by a bacteria that would invade the skin, the mucous membranes, and go in and attack primarily the nerve cells within one's body. It would deaden them, damage them, maybe even destroy nerve cells. And without nerve cells, you can't feel anything. You don't sense things. It would cause what we would say anesthesia, not amnesia, if I remember correctly. See if you're awake. Anesthesia, where you lose that ability to feel things. If you've gone to the dentist and had, you know, any work done, you've probably had the local anesthetic, where they say, you know, you're just going to feel a little pinch between your lip and gum, and it's a pinch that makes a grown man's eyes water sometimes. But speaking of others, I've heard. And at first you feel it, but then if they do it another shot of Novocaine, it's like, oh, I didn't feel anything the second time. And then they check, you know, and over time, often with like your lip and your tongue, and the whole area, you don't really feel anything. And I don't know why, it causes you to talk funny too. And even though you can't feel, it's like it feels like it's puffy, right? But there's no sensation. And so they can do work so you're not crying out and screaming in pain because you don't feel it. Well, you might have, you know, general anesthesia where the whole body, if you have to go and undergo surgery, you don't want to feel that, right? Well, think of this disease. That's what leprosy did. When I was a kid, I heard crude jokes about lepers. I'm not going to repeat them now. Just thought, you know, pictured the skin, the flesh, even body parts falling off. That's not exactly what leprosy is. But when you lose that ability to feel, we're not even aware of how much that sensation keeps us healthy and safe, meaning cuts, burns, minor things that happen. A leper would not be aware of any of them. Things got infected all the time. Things got worse. And even the eyelids, so our eyes blink all day long without our being aware to keep our eyeballs moist. A leper might even lose that sensation that would cause his eyelids to automatically blink and his eyeballs might dry out and he'd go blind. I mean, this is what could happen with this disease, but probably the worst part. I mean, it was devastating in every way, but it was transmitted by skin-to-skin contact. And so, said, the leper must remain outside the camp, outside of the community, must live alone. Can you imagine? You can't be here because you have leprosy. And if you see anyone, it's on you, the leper, to say unclean, to warn them so that they will not come near you. So even if they could feel, they never got the chance to feel a hug, a kiss, an animal's fur, the warmth of the sun, and then they have to be away from people. It was devastating, isolating, lonely disease. Well, this leper, he'd heard. The news about Jesus had spread all over, and he is desperate. He's waiting down the mountain. He didn't go to the crowd, but when he sees Jesus coming down, he cannot contain himself, and he approaches Jesus. And I can imagine the crowds probably a little distance back already, but now just stopping. And if they see this leper coming to Jesus, Jesus doesn't stop until the leper comes to him. The leper approaches and then kneels. He kneels before Jesus. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Savior." Kneeling is a position of humility. It's a position of submission. It's a position of worship. If you don't kneel at home when you pray, if you're able to physically and it's not a problem, I encourage you when you're alone in your room to kneel when you pray. Because even when you're alone, it's a position of humility, it's a position of submission, and it's a position of worship that we probably don't do. But doing that physically with your body puts you in that before your Lord. And he knelt before Jesus. And then he prayed. This leper, we know the Lord's Prayer, we said that. The leper's prayer is a wonderful prayer. He says, "Lord." He didn't say Jesus, teacher, master, which are all good, but Lord. Lord. If you are willing. Leper doesn't say, it doesn't complain. Doesn't like beg, please make me well, get me up. He just goes right to Jesus' will. If you are willing. And then he prays, "You can make me clean." He has leprosy. It's an incurable disease at the time. There's nothing anyone can do to heal it, to cure it. The leper does not doubt that, though. He says, "You can." Here's faith. He has no doubt. It's all a matter of Jesus' will. And that word for will is like, if it's your wish, if this is what you would want, Lord, I know you can. Make me clean. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us, all those who believe in Jesus, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We don't come and say, "Lord, you know, I don't know how much you can do in this situation," with confidence. And it's all a matter of the Lord's will, which is right in the Lord's Prayer, right? "Thy will be done." If this is your will, if it's your will, it's done. You can do this, Lord. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. "You can make me clean," he says. He doesn't say, "You can cure me, you can heal me, you can make me well," which is all included in there. But I think when he says, "You can make me clean," here's the man who is supposed to shout, "Unclean." To mark him as a leper, to mark him as defiled, to mark him as one who needs to be away from everyone. "You can make me clean." If you're unclean, you cannot enter the temple courts. You cannot enter the temple grounds to worship God. If you're unclean, you cannot live among people. People are supposed to stay away from you and not touch you. Here's a desire, wants to be well, but why? So I can go in the temple and worship, so I can be ceremonially clean to worship God, and so that I can be in the community of the people again. Make me clean. Community life. Jesus, all caps, exclamation point. And here I'm thinking the crowds, when they see this leper go right up to Jesus, I'm thinking the people in the crowd, Jesus, that's a leper. Stay away. He's getting too close to you. But what does Jesus do after this man says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean? His first response says, Jesus reached out his hand. Now I'm really watching the crowd, hearing them, and touched the man. Skin to skin. Jews, do not touch anything or anyone that is unclean. We looked at this a little bit last week. You know, the hand sanitizer, that was more ceremony than actual cleanliness, but it was the thought of not being defiled by something or someone that's unclean. And again, this disease transmitted skin-to-skin contact. He reached out his hand and touched the man. Was Jesus infected? Did he break out in leprosy? He did not. In the book Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, he uses, you know, we think infection is not a positive word. Infection is not used in a, you know, that's not a good thing, infection. But C.S. Lewis said, with Jesus, there's this good infection. It's like the reverse. So Jesus is so clean, what he touches is infused, infected from Jesus, if you will, with his own holiness, his own cleanness. And I'm wondering, we don't know this leper's story, you know, when he got the disease, how long he'd been a leper. We don't know that. But how long had it been since he had been able to feel anything? And I imagine, and here's what I'd ask him over that cup of coffee, when Jesus touched you, you know, you had this nerve damaging, deadening disease. Did you feel it? He hadn't felt anything for how long? And all of a sudden, I'm feeling my own hand on my forehead right now. Did he feel Jesus' touch? I'm thinking he did. And then Jesus' words. It's in Greek. It's one word. It's thalo, which means I am willing. And again, that expresses my will, also my wish, my desire. This is what I want, Jesus is saying. I want. And whatever Jesus did and said was in full accordance with God the Father's will. Everything Jesus did was to fulfill his Father's will. So when Jesus says, I am willing, this means God, the creator of all, wants this to happen. I am willing. And now, he'll say another one word in Greek. And I think about this. When Jesus speaks like he does here, this is God. This is the voice that says in Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. And there's light. Before there's a sun or any stars, there's light. Because God speaks. This is the voice that earlier in the Gospels, Jesus had been in the synagogue. There's a man in the synagogue who was crying out, you know, what do you want with us? Because it's a demon, or demons even, crying out from within him. And Jesus says to the demon and the man, quiet, come out of him. And the demon has no choice to come out because Jesus said it. This is the voice that in a stormy, you know, in the water and the wind and the waves and the disciples are afraid of drowning, in the middle of a storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus says to the wind, to the waves, to the storm, again, quiet, be still. And now he says, this same voice, while touching this man, I am willing, one word, katharisthetai, which means, be you cleansed. Be clean. Let there be light. and he was clean. Whew. It says immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Have you ever had, you know, we say all the hair on your arms, the back of your neck, kind of go up in reaction to something you've seen or felt or experienced, and I'm talking in maybe a good one where it's like, oh. I was like, oh, that feeling. I imagine with this leper that be clean and Jesus touched, and he hadn't felt anything and now he feels everything. And by the way, when Jesus says be clean, was it only the skin disease that was here, all the nerve cells back alive? Was it only that? When Jesus says be clean, this is a cleansing not only of the body, but of the soul. It's like the paralyzed man had been brought to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, saw the faith of those who brought him to Jesus. And what did Jesus say before even healing him so he could walk? He looked deeper, said, your sins are forgiven. Now, get up, pick up your mat, and go home and walk. When Jesus says, be clean, you are clean, inside and out. Whew. And then Jesus gave this man a command, which sounds maybe a little strange at first, because he says, see that you don't tell anyone. We pause right there. It's like, well, I'm still picturing there's some of that crowd, if not a whole bunch of people from those crowds who are witnessing this event. So don't tell anyone, like, let's keep this a little secret. I don't think it's a secret. And anyone who knew of this man, who knew of his leprosy, would know, okay, something happened. Here's a miracle. He is cured. But Jesus says, see that you don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Jesus is pointing back to the laws of Moses, which are the laws of God given to his people back in Leviticus. And I read earlier from Leviticus 13, where the priest is inspecting for all these different kinds of skin diseases and other things about if people are clean or unclean. Leviticus chapter 14, which I'm going to go to now, goes through what this leper then went through. Leviticus 14, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing when they are brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they have been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop. There we go. And hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it, together with the cedar wood, the scarlet yarn, and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. After that, he is to release the live bird in the open fields. The person to be cleansed must wash their clothes, shave all their hair, and bathe with water. Then they will be ceremonially clean. After this, they may come into the camp. You hear this? He can come back into civilization, which also means he can come back into the temple. But they must stay outside their tent for 7 days. On the seventh day, they must shave off their hair. They must shave their head, their beard, their eyebrows, and the rest of their hair. They must wash their clothes and bathe themselves with water, and they will be clean. The man's, if Jesus says, be clean, you're clean. He's clean in that moment, that instant. He is totally, wholly, perfectly cleansed and clean. But could he just go back into the camp? Straight from Jesus. See that you don't tell anyone. Don't go back to the camp. Don't go to the temple. Don't go to the crowds yet. First thing you need to do, go to the priest. Go through what I just read there. Then. So a few weeks ago, we dropped off Colby at Elmhurst University for his freshman season. He was there freshman year. Class started this past week, but 3 weeks ago, or whatever it was, the data, blurry, he started football camp. But like the week before football camp, we were learning that the NCAA requires all student athletes to have a sickle cell test and have that as part of their paperwork before they can enter, in this case, football camp or whatever the sport is. Well, Colby had the test when he was a baby, when he was born. Called the hospital where he was born in Florida. They keep records only up to 10 years back. He's 18 years old. They don't have a record. So here's the thing. He had the test. He doesn't have it. We know that. In this sense, he's clean. We know that. He knows that. And even if we told people, they'd probably be like, well, we believe you. But he could not participate. He would not have been able to participate unless he had the proof that he had the test and it was negative. So we had hasty calls to a local clinic here, and he did get in and got another test so he could get the proof so that he could go into football camp, and he got it in on time. But like this, see that you don't tell anyone, but get this done. You need to have the proof. And for the leper, you need to be pronounced clean by the priest. Get that certificate, which I'm coming to. It's not a certificate, it's better. So that you have the proof. You are now clean. And then Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded. The gift here, Leviticus chapter 14, picking up right where I left off, at verse 10. On the eighth day, they must, that is the one now pronounced clean, they must bring two male lambs and one ewe lamb, a year old, each without defect, along with 3/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil for a grain offering, and one log of oil. The priest who pronounces them clean shall present both the one to be cleansed and their offerings before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering along with the log of oil. He shall wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. He is to slaughter the lamb in the sanctuary area where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. I'm going to jump to verse 19. Then the priest is to sacrifice the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from their uncleanness. After that, the priest shall slaughter the burnt offering and offer it on the altar together with the grain offering and make atonement for them, and they will be clean. Still with me? You can see how you get lost in Leviticus, but it's all there, and it is really rich. And then Jesus says, and this is awesome, go show yourself to the priest, okay? Do all that, and offer the gift, the offering, the sacrifices. And by the way, he's been pronounced clean, but he still has to go through the rest of the ceremonial ritual here with the priest, but he's there, meaning he gets to be there when the priest is doing this, so he hadn't been in that area for a long time. But Jesus says, offer the gift as a testimony to them. As a testimony to them. Back to verse 14 in Leviticus 14. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot. The priest shall then take some of the log of oil, pour it in the palm of his own left hand, dip his right forefinger into the oil in his palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord 7 times. The priest is to put some of the oil remaining in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. The rest of the oil in his palm the priest shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed and make atonement for them before the Lord. testimony to them. What would people see when they saw this former leper after that part of the ceremony? What would they see? What's that on your right earlobe? It's glistening blood from a clean sacrifice. He's been marked. What would the leper see when he looked at his right thumb or his right big toe after this was done? Blood. Sacrificial blood that is now marking him as not unclean, but thumb up. Clean. I am clean. Wow. You know, and then the oil that got poured on his head too. I'm wondering, you know, if you get oil in your eyes or sweat in your eyes, what happens? Does it feel good? It stings. If it was stinging his eyes after what he'd been through, I think he was like, yes, I can feel that sting of the oil of anointing that is marking me as clean. Jesus cleansed him. Jesus cleansed him. The priest ceremonially pronounced him clean. But the sacrificial blood marked his new life. I am clean before the Lord and among God's holy people. The leper's testimony, and I'm keep calling him the leper even though he's not anymore. His testimony came down to the blood that marked him clean. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that marks us as clean to be able to come into your presence. And Lord, I pray that we'd be marked in a way that would be visible, the fruit of your Holy Spirit, your presence, your peace, your love, your grace, your forgiveness that would shine through our lives, that others would see somehow, say, you know, you're clean. You're set free. You're, what is it? You say, I've been marked by the blood of the Lamb. I've been cleansed by Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for this amazing gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.